Well, good evening, and thank you for joining D. James Kennedy Ministries tonight for our live conference call. And we have a very exclusive program for you tonight on the COVID-19 crisis, both its dramatic economic impact and, even more importantly, how it's being used to assault your civil liberties. Plus, we'll also give you an update on our legal battle with the far-left Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm so glad that you've taken the time to join us. My name is John Rabe, and I am the Director of Creative Production here at D. James Kennedy Ministries. That means that basically I'm the producer in charge of our two television programs, Truth That Transforms and the Coral Ridge Hour, and I will be your host tonight. And to respect everyone's time, we're going to try to keep the call to roughly 30 minutes this evening. Now, tonight we are very excited to have with us Dr. Frank Wright, who is the President and CEO of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Frank is going to be sharing exclusive updates with us tonight on both the COVID-19 crisis's impact on freedom and also some of the things that we're doing, including our lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center. Dr. Wright will also take your questions live during the call this evening. And so to ask Dr. Wright a question about the pandemic's fallout, and especially its toll on our fundamental freedoms in this crucial election year, as well as the ministry's battle with the radical Southern Poverty Law Center, or any other general questions that you would like to ask, you can push zero on your telephone keypad at any time during the program, and you'll be connected to submit your question. So you just press zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to submit your question. And after you submit your question, you'll still be able to listen to the program as you wait to be able to ask it. Now, before we introduce Dr. Wright, we also wanted to ask everyone on with us tonight a question, and this is a question we would like you to respond to, which you'll be able to do also on your telephone keypad. And the question is, are you alarmed by recent government overreach, including church shutdowns, that violate fundamental American freedoms as we deal with the COVID-19 crisis? Are you alarmed by recent government overreach, including church shutdowns that violate our fundamental American freedoms? To answer, for yes, press 1 on your keypad, press 2 for no, or press 3 for not sure or don't know. So again, that's, are you alarmed by the recent government overreach, including church shutdowns that violates fundamental American freedoms? Press 1 on your keypad for yes, press 2 for no, or press 3 for not sure or don't know, and we would like to get your opinion on that question tonight. Those of you on the line tonight are good friends and loyal financial partners of this ministry, and so we wanted to give you an exclusive opportunity to hear firsthand from Dr. Frank Wright and to ask your questions live. And it's great, of course, to have you with us, because basically any human contact right now during this pandemic is very welcome. And so as a reminder, Dr. Wright is looking forward to answering your questions. So at any time during the program, all you need to do is press zero on your telephone keypad to submit your question to be answered later on in the program. And again, we've been adding some callers to the call as we've started here. So just to reiterate, for those of you who've just joined, my name is John Rabe, and we're excited that you're able to join us for this exclusive program this evening. As I mentioned just a moment ago, we'll try and keep the call to roughly 30 minutes tonight to be respectful of your time. And I'm very excited now to introduce Dr. Frank Wright, President and CEO of D. James Kennedy Ministries, who I know better as my boss. Welcome, Dr. Wright.
Well, John, thank you. It's a great delight to be here this evening for this very exclusive gathering of ministry friends. John, now one thing, I didn't hear you say no hard questions. I thought we agreed that you would tell people they could ask questions, but no hard questions.
That's right.
We're excited. Yeah, we're excited to have this opportunity, really, to talk with our ministry partners. And I hope if you do have a question that you'll follow John's instructions on how to relay that question. And let me just say at the outset, too, we have been praying for you. We have been praying for you and have been concerned for you and want you to know that during this time of segmentation and separation and distancing and so forth, most of our team's been working from home, as I have for the most part, except coming in for tapings, and we have not forgotten about you. I have been praying for God's hand of blessing and health and protection that it would be on you. And so we're grateful for each and every one of you. Well, as John has alluded to a couple of times already, we don't have to wake up Einstein, as one of my college professors used to say, that the pandemic has had a profound economic impact on us as individuals, businesses, ministries, and literally now the fabric of society is beginning to stress a bit as it relates to this aspect of the assault on fundamental freedoms, the assault on the rule of law, and where we've gotten to the place where orders are being issued by executive fiat with no law behind it at all, just a lot of good ideas, seemingly good ideas. Now, there are two aspects of the pandemic I want to comment on before we take our first question. One of those aspects is deeply concerning. It's the one that we're alluding to already. The other is, by contrast, I think decidedly hopeful. And in the second segment, after your first questions, we will talk about this more hopeful. Now, listen, it's emerged, and sadly, that our deepest and most fundamental freedoms are clearly at risk. The free exercise of religion, free speech, free press, freedom of assembly. And sadly, I don't mean to pick on our Democrat friends, but sadly, the greatest threat seems to be in Democrat-controlled states. And it presents itself largely in the government's designation, mostly by fiat, over what is essential and what is non-essential. I bet you were surprised as you've watched this unfold to see some things that were sort of shockingly declared either essential or non-essential that seemed inappropriate in both cases. In the government mandated lockdowns that we've experienced, we have seen cancer treatment centers closed, but abortion clinics kept open. We've seen drive-through worship is a real no-no. And yet drive-through at McDonald's, even without a mask, is just fine, thank you very much. We see that our government seems to trust office workers to be responsible, but not worshipers. As one federal judge put it, why is it unsafe to pray in your car outside your church, but fine to sit in your car waiting for the liquor store to open? Another judge said this, assuming reasonable precautions, why is it safe to walk the aisle of a grocery store but not safe to walk to your pew in the church? And then there's this whole matter of how the Second Amendment rights have been deemed by these executive orders to be inferior rights. And some judges have been quick to correct these things, fortunately. And then you see the just absolute mystery of throwing social distance offenders in jail, jails that, by the way, are conveniently empty because we've turned all the violent offenders out. We didn't want them to get the COVID virus in jail. We've turned them out, and then we're throwing, you know, innocent citizens in jail for not properly following the social distancing orders. And then we are also, clearly, we're at this place now, we all seem to grasp this. We've been ignoring the devastating economic effects based on what we now know to be largely failed science, or at least failed scientific models. And then, to my mind, worst of all, is replacing the rule of law with executive orders by government. And here we see, near the end of all of this, that the left, the political left in America, is finally taking off their mask. And we saw what the Democrats did to the spending bills to aid people in the midst of their economic difficulties. We saw all of the things included in those spending bills by the left, and perfectly willing to hold up the passage of those bills for days or even weeks, it seemed, as long as they could get included in their laundry list of socialist enterprises. So all of these things, as I say, are disturbing, they're concerning, and in the next segment we'll talk a little bit about those, some things that are actually quite encouraging in this regard, and some things that we're doing. I'll give you some updates on some things that we're doing and plans that we have as well. So, John, let me turn it back to you.
Yeah, thank you for those thoughts, Frank, and I look forward to hearing that update as well, because we do have some things that are ongoing and some upcoming plans in this crucial election year And so that will be important for all of us to hear about. Now, several of you have submitted your questions, and we thank you so much. And if you haven't submitted your question yet, this would be a great time to go ahead and press zero and submit your question as well. And after you press zero, you'll still be able to hear us as you wait to submit your question. And we'll get to as many of them as we can tonight in the short time that we have. But before we get to our first question, some folks joined the call after we asked our poll question, and so we're going to go ahead and ask that question again. Dr. Wright's very interested in getting your feedback, and we would like to know, are you alarmed by recent government overreach, including church shutdowns, that violates fundamental American freedom? You can answer that just by pressing the keypad on your phone. One for yes, press two for no, or press three for not sure or don't know. Are you alarmed by recent government overreach, including the shutdown of churches, that violates fundamental American freedoms? Press one for yes, two for no, and three for not sure or don't know. We appreciate your feedback, and we've heard from quite a few people already, and we'll discuss that as we go a little bit as well, Frank. So, Dr. Wright, let's go ahead and take our very first question of the night. We have Linda, who is calling us from Washington, D.C. tonight. Linda, thank you so much for joining us. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, and thank you both for the great work you're doing. I have two questions, actually. My first question is, of course, we all want the economy open as soon as possible. And some are saying that contact tracing, perhaps through the use of a mobile app, is the key to reopening the economy. What is your position on that strategy?
Excellent question. Frank, what do we have to say about that? I think a lot of people share that concern.
John, Linda clearly didn't hear my admonition about no hard questions. Someone's going to just disconnect her now, if you don't mind, John. It's a great question. It's on everybody's mind because of all of the suggestions that have been made by various government agencies about how we can use antibody, passports, tracing devices. It all sounds vaguely familiar to us for those of us who have spent a little time studying, you know, your particular view of the end times. Any time the government can track its people against their will, that's a very bad thing. That is a fundamental violation of the Bill of Rights that we have that tells us that we have the right not to be unreasonably searched. Just because the government wants to search us doesn't mean they have the right. They have to go to court to get a. So this is like a massive searching tool that if it were restricted only to the coronavirus and people who were infected versus not infected, you know, you can see that there might be some benefits that could be obtained from it. But never does government stay within the bounds, especially the leftist governors we've been listening to these last 2 months. And so contact tracing, for those that want to volunteer and sign up and do that, that's up to them. If that were made mandatory, that might lead to a second American Revolution. So intrusive is that into the freedoms that we have in this nation. There are other nations around the world where that sounds like everyday, ordinary business. The Soviet Union for 70 years, probably weren't tracked electronically, but you were tracked every way possible, and we cannot have that here in America and must stand against that, at least from a mandatory standpoint.
That's right, and many concerns, and of course we all know the famous statement of Rahm Emanuel, the former chief of staff to President Obama, who said you never want to let a crisis go to waste, and so there's a lot of opportunity for shenanigans during a crisis like this, and we have to be vigilant. I want to remind everybody that if you'd like to get in and ask a question as well, we'd love to hear from you. Just press zero on your telephone, and let's take another question. Marjorie is listening to us in Minnesota. Good evening, Marjorie. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind this evening?
My question was, there was that thought that perhaps we have to mail in our voting for November. Do you think that will ever really happen?
That's an excellent question, Marjorie, and I'll even add something to it, Frank. What are the dangers that come from that if we do go to a mail-in voting system?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the real question, is does a mail-in system fundamentally change the structure of voting in America, even in states or locations where there's not some real need for mail-in balloting? I voted here in Florida during the primary election, right in the middle of the coronavirus, and everyone was properly socially distanced and had their masks, and no reported outbreaks as a result of the voting. This is clearly a ploy on the part of the left, because if ballots are mailed out, where do they go? Well, they may go to bad addresses, but if those ballots are found or delivered to someone else, who knows how they're filled out in return? And we know that there's been an ongoing problem with the corruption of the voter registration rolls in many, many states. There are more people on the voter rolls in the state of North Carolina right now than there are North Carolinians. That's how badly out of line the voter rolls are. So this is ripe for corruption, and I don't mean to be unkind in saying it, but that's exactly why they're proposing it. There's a strategy here to try to get votes cast by illegals, by people who are not qualified by law to cast votes, and this is an important a precedent that needs to be opposed.
We, as we've been asking our poll question about whether you're concerned about government overreach, recent government overreach, including church shutdowns that violate fundamental American freedom. So far, 80% have said yes, 7% no, 13% not sure. And I understand that ambivalence, Frank, because, of course, you know, there is the need for safety, and we recognize the virus is dangerous, and we also see some people getting out of hand here. So I think that expresses something that the questions that people have. We also will be taking more of your calls, so please do hang in there. And thank you for those of you who've asked questions already. There will be another opportunity in a moment to ask Dr. Frank Wright your questions live. And so if you have a question, please press zero now. But Frank, we've also promised an update on what it is that we are doing during this time and what we are doing as a ministry, what D. James Kennedy Ministries is doing as we face, let's face it, a landmark election coming up in November in this country, and one that is going to be greatly influenced by things that are happening right now. What are we doing as a ministry, and what are some of the things you'd like to tell everyone who's joined us tonight about our plans for the next few months of this year?
Well, John, I'd like to do two things. I'd like to point out something heartwarming that we can take from all of this. There's some very, very disturbing things going on. I see Evelyn has a question regarding what happens. Is this a dangerous president to have neighbors reporting each other for violations of social distancing and so on? But to me, it's been heartwarming in some respects to see our nation pull together in the face of perhaps, it was thought at the time, the gravest emergency that it's ever faced outside of war. We've seen neighbors helping neighbors. We've seen churches scrambling not only to live stream their worship services, but to make sure they're taking care of the people in their covenant community. I think the most profound thing, how easy it is to overlook, most of our pandemic efforts have been made for the benefit of the most vulnerable in our society, and that's the elderly and those who have compromised immune systems and those who are most likely to have a life-altering event if they contract this virus. All of these efforts that we've been making as a nation have really been for the most vulnerable among us. Not so much the efforts on abortion, obviously. The other bright spot, before I get to the plans the ministry has and some updates, is what's called the activities of the lesser magistrates. The lesser magistrates were identified prior to the Protestant Reformation, but John Calvin popularized it and talked about those who were had governing authority, but they were beneath the king, at lower levels than the king, had a duty and a responsibility to resist unjust laws and tyrannical actions. John Knox said the same thing, writing to some of the Scottish nobles, that they need to resist the tyranny of chief magistrates. And in the current pandemic, some of our governors have clearly usurped authority not accorded to them either in their state constitution or their U.S. constitution. But in two recent examples, a Michigan sheriff announced that he will not enforce Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's unilateral stay-at-home order. He says basically that under Michigan law, only the legislature has the power to extend a stay-at-home order. And then in Pennsylvania, a growing group of district attorneys, has gone on record saying they will not prosecute businesses for violating Governor Tom Wolf's order to restrict them from reopening. Their argument is also very compelling. They say people are being smart, they're wearing masks, they're maintaining social distancing. Using criminal sanctions would not be helpful. The criminal law is a blunt instrument, said one, and not ordinarily used to enforce a governor's decree. So here we have some very encouraging activities by the lesser magistrates in America. Our founders counted on the activity of the lesser magistrates to be one of the ways that we would resist tyranny. Now, as John alluded to, we're not sitting on our hands at D. James Kennedy Ministries. We have a number of efforts underway. Let me give you two quick updates. One will be exceedingly encouraging, I hope, for you. Many of you on this call likely helped us with the opening of our leadership training at the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship in Washington, D.C. Over a two-year period, we trained two cohorts of people who believe God was calling them to run for elected office. And in this election cycle, in this 2020 election cycle, we have seven graduates of our training running for national elective office, either the House or the Senate, and others who are still considering running for local office in their communities as well. This leadership training was exactly what we had hoped it would do, is equip people with the tools they needed to be able to succeed in public life through a different kind of leadership training, biblical worldview training, training in constitutional governance, training in public policy, training in how to speak, debate, negotiate, and do media relations. And so we're really excited about our leadership training graduates running for office. Secondly, another long-running battle, we are now at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia, pressing our case against the Southern Poverty Law Center and Amazon based on their SMILE program. And I'm pleased to report that just last week we filed our final brief in the appeal. And so we believe that sometime in the next 30 or 60 days, we will have oral arguments before a three-judge panel at the 11th Circuit. That circuit, by the way, has been almost totally transformed by the appointments of President Donald Trump to a far more conservative circuit than it was just three years ago. And then thirdly, what's going to occupy the bulk of our time as a ministry between now and the end of the year comprises our Defend America 2020 campaign, in which we are using every means available to us to bring a biblical perspective to bear on all the great moral, ethical, and cultural questions of our time. Questions like abortion, gender identity, socialism, open borders, and so many other issues that are being pressed by the left in this election cycle. I think we all are probably tired of hearing people say this next election is going to be the most important in our lifetime, but there's a pretty strong argument that that's true. So we're going to be using our broadcast television platform, our print resources, our websites and email distribution. We're going to use every means of distribution available to us to make sure that the truth of God is brought to bear on these great questions and that our leaders in Washington, D.C. hear from us about our views, about what people of faith think about the actions that they're taking. So this is we're living in a very, very challenging time, but we're also living in a time of opportunity. We still live in a nation that allows us to choose our leaders. And unless this election is stolen from us, we'll be able to choose leaders that have a biblical perspective, and many other nations on earth have no such opportunity. So this is an exciting time for us, and we couldn't do any of this without your support. We're so thankful for your gifts and your prayers that have helped us continue during this challenging time for all of us.
We really are, and we put out a call on television a couple of weeks ago, and many people stepped forward to help us maintain our broadcast presence. I, Frank, as the producer of the television programs, am very excited that we are going to have the opportunity to address these issues, all the big issues, all the key cultural questions from a biblical perspective leading up to the election. We'll have a little bit more to say before we're done, Frank, but we do want to give a couple more listeners an opportunity to ask a question. Next up, we mentioned Michigan. We have Ethel in Michigan, and there has been some governmental overreach certainly in that state. Ethel joins us with a question. Hello, Ethel. How are you this evening?
I'm just fine. I'm doing well.
Good. Thank you for joining us. Oh, very good. We're glad to hear that. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we got, we had a policeman tell our minister that if he preached, they was, you'd have to pay, I think it was $3,000 in fine, plus go to jail for 3 months. Can they really do that legally? And what in the world can we do about such?
Well, Ethel, the short answer to your question is no, they can't do it legally, but that doesn't mean that it won't be very hard for ministers of the gospel to defend their freedoms in the courts. They can certainly be, you know, unjust law enforcement officials can certainly arrest people, and but their day in court, I believe, will be, they'll be vindicated by it. But at what cost? You have to hire lawyers, and you have to fight, and these things are challenging. So it's very concerning. You know, I think most of our law enforcement professionals, they're people too. They're not going to get out of line, and but there's that small few, whether they're judges or governors or police officers or state troopers, that that can make it very, very difficult for us. Now, a threat is not an arrest. The good law enforcement folks that I know never threaten to arrest anybody. They arrest them if they're deserving of arrest. So that sounds like a threat, but thank God for many of the Christian legal groups that we have partnered with at the ministry over the year that are ready to stand by and help people just like that. So, Ethel, you be sure to contact us if that takes place, and we'll do what we can to connect you with some legal resources.
Excellent. And Dr. Wright, of course, we're all aware of the dramatic economic impact that's likely to be worldwide. And there's been a serious economic impact on this ministry. What's at risk for a ministry like ours during these challenging times?
Well, we're a broadcast ministry principally, and the economic funding impact on us, which is, as you said, John, we've talked to some of our TV viewers about, would be the loss of a huge portion of our national platform through the lack of the ability to fund it. So right now, I don't mean to, this sounds like I'm hurting myself, patting myself on the back, please forgive me. There's not another national ministry that has a national broadcast TV audience that speaks on the issues that we speak on. We live in a time of silent shepherds in which our pastors sometimes are too timid, or they've been cowed by the left to believe that issues like abortion and marriage and homosexuality, which have been moral issues for 3,500 years, are somehow now political issues, and oh, don't you know, the church ought not to be speaking about political issues. So I really think that this is a time for us to stand for truth, and this is an important component of that.
Amen. Thank you, Frank. And as we begin wrapping up our call this evening, I do want to thank everyone who submitted a question tonight. There were so many, and we're sorry for those of you who we weren't able to get to and get to all the questions this evening, but we want you to know that we appreciate each and every one of you who had a question, and we appreciate each and every one of you who have called us to join in this discussion tonight. And Frank, we even had a call from Richard and Nancy Blaze, who asked us, what can we do to help? Help us with that question. What can folks do to help?
Well, Richard and Nancy have been two faithful ministry partners supporting this ministry for years and have been great encouragers. And they are, I think, emblematic of many, many supporters of our ministry. They care about the gospel first and foremost. Dr. Kennedy cared most about the gospel. The gospel will change the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls. And you know, we're all praying for revival in America. In some respects, we all know that revival is our only real hope. At the same time, though, the Bible is not just about the gospel only. The Bible speaks the mind of Christ. It speaks the word of God. And it speaks to every issue, every area of human endeavor, to medicine, to law, to education, to government, community services. And so, Richard and Nancy, you know, we're so grateful to have you as partners with us. You can help us by praying that God would give us godly wisdom to use the resources that he's allowed us to have to and apply them most effectively. And secondly, it would be to help people in your sphere of influence become acquainted with all the resources that D. James Kennedy Ministries publishes. We try to boil down all of these issues into consumable components so that people can articulate what they believe the Bible says about these things. You know, the scripture says always be ready to answer to anyone who asks you the hope that you have. That's a question about the gospel. But we need to be ready to answer also what we believe about what the scripture says about these great issues. So I would say one of the best things any supporter can do for us is introduce this ministry to your friends. Help other people become aware of who we are and what we do and what resources we have available. And we've got an easy-to-remember website, as most of you know. It's DJKM, D. James Kennedy Ministries, DJKM.org, where there is a plethora of very useful resources. So thanks to Richard and Nancy. And thanks to all of you that have called in. I'm just looking at some of these names, Christina and Evelyn and Elaine and John and Vince and Ella and Pat and Lou and Carol. It's such an encouragement that you've joined us tonight and participated in this really, I think, exciting opportunity to talk together.
And Dr. Wright, before we wrap up, I'd love to take a moment for you to pray for all of our partners who are on the phone with us before we end our time together. Would you do that, please?
I'd be happy to do that. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth that for those who have repented of their sins and trusted in the person and work of Jesus Christ, we are children of the living God. Thank you that you called us from out of darkness to walk in your marvelous light. Thank you, Father, that you told us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. And so, Father, we ask for healing for our nation, for the healing of this pandemic, this coronavirus that has taken the lives of so many and disrupted and harmed the lives of many, many others. Father, we pray to her for a vaccine that will be effective, for antibodies that will be identified, for all the things that you have enabled through your gracious hand to be discovered by people over the years. Father, use doctors and healthcare professionals, and Lord, we pray that you'd keep each one of them safe and protected from the virus as well. Father, help us to be mindful, too, that people are more open to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in times of great uncertainty. That's been true historically, true in times of war. And so help us, Father, each of us to be bold, to share Christ with others, to ask them if they're confident that when they die that they'll go to stand in the presence of God. And, Father, we pray that we pray for our churches. We pray that our pastors would be bolder and more faithful with the Word of God. We pray that the silent shepherds would loosen their tongues and be quick to proclaim Christ and Him crucified, and be quick also to proclaim the truths of the Scripture and how they apply to our world today. Lord, I thank you for all of our supporters, these dear people that mean so much to us, their notes, their gifts, their words of encouragement, their prayers. For 45 years, we've depended on these people to continue the legacy of what Dr. Kennedy started so many years ago. a proclamation of Christ and Him crucified, and the proclamation of the truth of the Scriptures, that men and women would know that it's the Word of the living God, and that they would love it, and that they would love Christ and desire to serve Him. Thanks, Lord, for this time to spend together. Forgive us for our many sins. Forgive us for our cold and sometimes wandering worship. Call us back to You, Lord. Call us back to the foot of the cross, that we might hear Your word spoken to us, preached through godly men, taught through godly men and women. And we ask that You do all these things, because we pray in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for participating in this very special conference call. We really just cannot tell you how much we appreciate each and every one of you. And Dr. Wright, thank you for blessing us with your time as well. And by the way, if you're on Facebook, feel free to join us. Follow us at D. James Kennedy Ministries on Facebook. And Dr. Wright and I will be doing a Facebook Live broadcast on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're going to be talking about compromise in the church. It's a very, very important topic, and one that unfortunately is becoming more and more relevant today as many churches are beginning to compromise the truth of the Scriptures. So tune in 7 p.m. Facebook Live. Follow D. James Kennedy Ministries. And at this time, we will let you all go and sign off. Thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful evening, and God bless all of you. Good night.